Ever flunked a course in school? I could tell you just exactly the way I took home. I can remember still kicking and scuffing my shoes with stones in the street when in sixth grade, just having moved to Minneapolis, I was bringing a report card home with a fail in conduct. I had talked in the cloakroom. And it was no laughing matter. I had a father at home dying, and I knew he was dying, and I thought, oh my. Here I am, a preacher's son, and the son of a preacher would fail, for his parish had asked for his resignation and sent him out to die. And I'll never forget coming in that house that day and about to show him the card, and he said to me as I came in, waiting for my mother to come home selling books house to house, "Well, son, they've come a long way on the apartment today." And that little remark kind of epitomized a life. Was closing, death closing in on it, failure. It was a lot later when I got fired from a job. Oh, it was kind of funny when I got fired from one in high school. I had a job where I signed up for 3 streetcar tokens a day and a dollar and just marked off how I felt like on whether or not the order was right or not while I was in the class play and working in another job, and that was sort of fun. You get fired for cheating, you know. You sort of got it coming. And this fellow in this text did, didn't he? But when you're doing your best, and then you get it. I was in the seminary, and I was directing a choir. And I didn't know much about music, and I knew even less about people. The soloist was a divorcee who was pretty proud of her voice. And there was such a pure spirit, one of those high school kids that just had a voice like a flute, and I let her sing the solo. And I was asked to resign that next week. And I looked around at the people on the streetcar that day as I was going back after that choir practice when I had been fired. And there were so many failures. You just look, those were the depression years, and there wasn't much bounce around anyhow. There are a lot of people who've missed it, aren't there? Who felt fire. But our Lord, when he tells this story today, tells us to put some spunk into us. When we see our situation as this steward did, when we see ourselves under the judgment of God as those who have failed, to then act like this man does. He takes no time when his Lord says, "You're fired." He acts to put himself into position to be able to go on living because I am ashamed to beg, he says, and I can't dig. As the director of Holden Village, I have to both dig and beg, and I can't have too much sympathy with him at this point. But he did something about it, didn't he? He acted. And that's what our Lord is getting through to us in this parable. And he says, the children of this world are smarter than the sons of light. We can coast along. We can live in a daydream world. And we're not historically alive. We're not where the action is. We have no real historic veracity and meaning because our lives aren't part of this radical repentance that is the kingdom of God breaking through. Repent and believe this gospel. That when men see God's no, his yes becomes possible to and through them for this world. But for that repentance, decision, letting go, and a new life begun. Oh, there are ways in which this can be applied in a genial way. I've told all my congregations on this particular Sunday that certainly one place where this children of this world prove themselves smarter than the sons of light is they take a cocktail before they go home. And then they don't take all the grief from the office back to their wife. Maybe they're celebrating a little bit. The problem is that with one cocktail, they say, to hell with it. And that's right. Every Christian ought to, and really only a Christian can. But with 2 cocktails, you start to say, to hell with him, meaning the boss. And with 3 cocktails, you're beginning to say, to hell with me, aren't you? And this is where they go off. But we who are the children of light, to lay hold of the wisdom God gives us, to act decisively. So we're not under the failure, not under the torment of falling short. That's what today is about. Too oftentimes we let rumble around in our inside that kind of echoing word. that even as we sigh and say, He does all things well, we hear that word of God rolling over us with a final tone of doom. I find no work of yours perfect before me. You haunted by that? I am. That kind of continuous realization that you're falling short. You do two jobs and you don't come through. And if you could put in three, and if you could only stretch the days a little more, and you still aren't making it. And that's the time to get the wisdom of this man that our Lord uses in this peculiar kind of a parable so that you lay hold of what God's no means and discover in it His yes. And that's for you. It's for the decision line of your life that you don't flounder around and float with the kind of tide and get tossed about here and there and end up simply a whining, complaining bit of flotsam on humanity's sea, but that you count and that your life counts because you've let the kingdom come to you and happen through you. We think, a lot of us, and maybe we're wrong, that some pious editor later added a little line more about you using the mammon of unrighteous to make friends for yourself, for this eternal habitation. But the chief point of this story is that you're with it, so that you let decision take place, like this man did, that under the no, under the wrath that's real for us all, for the final failure is death, we're not going to make it through that hour. And that final door slams on every life. And what happens now is what counts forever, doesn't it? That there's decision. That we just don't coast along. That we allow the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to lay hold of our lives and let them count. Not in our failure, not in our frustration, but in the wonder that He uses ordinary people to do His extraordinary works. That He lays hold of you and I who don't find any work of ours perfect before Him, and says, well done now, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will make you faithful over much. That we can put ourselves into His hand and not find a final fearsome word, you're fired. But come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. That's to learn from the wisdom of a guy who got fired, so that you escape the fires and the torments of hell in your conscience, and live in the goodness of God, who has provided for you and me a way that we exalt and celebrate now as we come to this table to receive from God His goodness, His truth, which is Jesus Christ, for me and for you. Failures all, but in Him the kind of people that can shout on our way to the grave. The last word from my Father was not that word of watching an apartment go up. They took him off to a hospital, and Holy Communion had just been his, and that chuckle was rumbling through him as he says, you're the man of the house now, son. I just had my 11th birthday. And the last thing I heard of him on earth was his chuckle. He says, okay, boys, carry me out. And a couple hours later, dead. But that kind of confidence that could go laughing into eternity, because he had just come from this table of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord, and he was ready. And so are you, as you come tonight where all things are now ready for you, and find the Lord who lets you off the hook as he takes you in his arms and blesses you, each one tonight. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.